Hey, Chris Manning here from Locked On Cavs. Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk about Obi Toppin, the Dayton forward who could be a Cleveland Cavalier come the NBA draft. That's all coming up today on Locked On Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Cleveland Cavaliers select Darius Garland from Vanderbilt University.
My, my, my. It's called the Kevin Love Show.
Kyrie Irving, he's gone. Xbox at him today at the Q.
On the blow block.
He put him in cement boots, cut him Sexton for two.
Come on!
Evan, let's just start with a little bit of news that we have to say. I don't think we know the specific dates yet, but that per Shams and per the NBPA, there are going to be key dates pushed back. So
yes.
For the Cavs, the two big ones, I would say for the immediate future, would be October 16th and October 18th, the former being the draft, the latter being free agency. You would assume that would also impact some player option dates and stuff, which maybe those decisions like don't need any more time to think about, but that is what it is, and that's just interesting for us to kind of consider there.
No, it really is. And I was speaking with somebody in the NBPA, and I'm not gonna, you know, drop names because I'm not that guy, but they more or less told me that the draft is still going to happen in October. It's just because these bubble playoffs have, I don't know, they can't really like predetermine when this is going to wrap up at a clean time, and then they kind of just wait for the season to end in Orlando, and then they move forward to the draft, and then free agency will be 2 days after. So somewhere in that window, our good friend Andre Drummond will be either picking up or not picking up his option, and I still think he's going to pick it up, so it's no big deal.
Also of note on Andre Drummond, received a first-team vote for NBA All Defense.
Hell yeah, brother.
Okay,
that's $30 million a year right there. I'm moving the pop filter to really $30 million a year.
I wish we were on... Evan, I'm going to put on video right now on Zoom, and the listeners can't see this, but you're killing me right now. You're killing me.
I didn't turn my video on, but...
Evan never does. I'm going to share that, but Evan, I usually just had the video on for a while, and Evan was like, nah, and, you know, I get it. It's fine.
No. I mean, Brittany Mall is friend of the pod, like more or less bullies me into turning the video on. Whatever.
Yeah, she's all about it. Which yeah. Salute to Brittany.
Salute to Brittany, the honorary third host of
Locked On. Yeah, salute to Cleveland Girl Gang. Go support that. But if you're not listening for the first time, I'm Chris Manning, one of the hosts here. Also run For This Order with Evan. Also do the Ineligible Man Downfield newsletter with Jordan Zerm, which covers all Cleveland sports. And you can also see my work at places like Forbes and Cleveland Magazine. Evan, just give me your credentials real quick.
Well, I host this lovely podcast with the man you were just hearing, Chris Manning, 5 days a week, usually every weekday, sometimes on Saturdays, depending on
truly
what's going
a game
on.
Changer for the pod when Evan came on and saved me for myself.
I wouldn't say that. More so like ruining you even further. But we also run the show at Fear the Sword together. We have been doing a lot of theme week stuff on Needs for the Cavs. I'm taking the reins of the ship and for the next week and time talking about a fun project. Maybe I'll tease the details about that at a later date, but you know, still working on it now and kind of getting anxious about it. But other than that, I cover the Cavs for Forbes. I do the NBA a little bit at large as well. I'm a video game cynic and an anime aficionado, so you know, thanks for listening. And yeah, you know, I'm just really rambling at this point. Let's talk about Obi.
Okay, so let's just do this. Let's just do the case for him and why it exists.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why there's a case for Obi. This is, number one, not a great draft class.
No.
It is just factually not a draft class where I think a lot of the guys are going to pop off. Even at five, you know, I think, like, guys that went later in last year's lottery and previous lotteries, I think, would have gone ahead of some of the guys here. I would like to actually see what some of the guys who slipped, like, 10, 11, like, in, like, 2 years ago, for instance, would kind of be like. Or I wonder if this is a draft where, like, Michael Porter Jr., he just can't, you know, slip out of the top 10. But we've seen it argued a couple places, and I think most prominently in Chris Fedor's latest mailbag column at Cleveland.com.
Hey, Chris.
What?
No, that's the name of his mailbag.
Oh, yes. Basically, here's the argument. Jetty's not really a four. He could be the best player available.
Mm-hmm.
There's a quote-unquote big picture plan to keep Kevin Love from playing back-to-backs, which, okay. There's some roster issues in terms of maybe not having Thompson and Drummond around. Jordan Bell's a small ball five. I'm a little higher on Dean Wade than Mr. Fedor seems to be. I think I would like to see Dean Wade like at least get some minutes. I think he could. So the case is just sort of there that like he could be a body. What do you make of that case?
I think he could be a body. Sure, I have a lot of takes on Obi, but the biggest thing is positionally he just does not make much sense with this Cleveland roster because I don't see Kevin Love getting moved anytime soon. I think it's smart for the Cavs to rest him on back-to-backs just because he's injury prone and they are trying to move him right now. And they're also trying to, you know, figure out what's going on with Andre Drummond, Jordan Bell. Sure, he's an undersized five, and then you have Dean Wade, who, like, I agree, I'm higher on as well. And it's just an interesting case where I just don't think Obi is, this is like the worst possible fit for him in terms of like draft prospects and teams. Like, I get it. Like, I can understand the upside. Like, he is an alluring offensive four. He's very good at what he knows what he's good at offensively, and he focuses that, and that kind of makes him an elite prospect in that regard. But on a team like Cleveland that has so many other needs, I just don't think Obi is the right fit at all for them.
So here's what I'll say. I think that if you were going to be taking Topin and you wanted to go with this, if you just look at what the league is and you look at what the very best teams, the teams that I would say have the kind of the template for success, Toronto, the Clippers, Boston, I think Boston is an example of this. I think most competent teams are kind of an example of this. You want to have wings, and you really cannot have enough wings.
Obi is not a wing.
Obi
even
isn't.
People
yeah.
like to think he could play small forward.
He is a big. This is a guy who is maybe obviously has some pop. Obviously has a lot of athleticism. Dunks a ton. All that stuff. This is someone who I don't think fits that. Is just not going to play the three, is not going to be able to guard wings. I obviously think bigger wing is a need, but I don't even think he qualifies as that at the NBA level. And I think the argument for taking him is if you're a team that already has, is either like you're a little lower and he's the best player available, or you're a team in the spot where like, okay, we have our wings. Like if let's say this was Boston and they had just taken like a Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum in back-to-back drafts. This is where it's more acceptable, to take Topin and kind of fill that roster spot. He could play five. He could
be
awesome four.
In Boston.
Right, like that's the kind of situation you're fitting into. The Cavs are not that position. They just are not. If you look at the competent wings in the roster, I'm higher, I think, on Jetty than a lot of people, but he's just like kind of average. Kevin Porter Jr. is not good yet, but we think he's going to be good. You're playing two small guards a lot of the time. That's contributing to your kind of lack of overall kind of wing competence. There's just, and then you get into, you know, we'll see what happens with Dylan Windler. We'll see what happens with, you know, other guys kind of on the peripheral. We'll see if, like, McKinney is on the roster, but that is what it is. Like, there is a need for a wing. And if Devin Vassell, Isaac Okoro, and Danny Adija, or even two of those three guys are staring you in the face, I think the argument for Topin. Yeah. Crumbles right there just because wing is such a need for this team and it is such a need to succeed in this NBA.
No, it really is, and I like the fact that you're saying, like, I like the outline you gave for Obi going to Boston. I think that's a great fit for him because they're a team that kind of needs help at the big man spot. I mean, he can easily replicate what Enes Kanter is providing them right now and also provide spacing because he has potential as a shooter.
But there's not, if you look at this lot, if you look at this draft order, what is the space? There's not a team in the top.
I think Golden
Eight.
State. Golden State would be great for Date or Obi.
Yeah, but is that like what they're going to... Like, there's higher upside guys at two.
There are, but also Golden State's a team that's looking to win now. You take an offensive player like that, and he can score.
But aside from him, I don't think there's, like, another guy. Like, Detroit's sort of a blank slate, so, like, they can do it. Atlanta has no reason to take Topin.
No, he is redundant with John Collins.
Charlotte, I guess. Charlotte, I guess, theoretically, is kind of a blank slate, too.
Charlotte's a little weird. Maybe they, if they took Obi, that'd blow the draft. That's a very Hornets-esque move, they took Obi. Like, they take the best players from college teams, like Cody Zeller. That's just the player I'm grasping at right now, who, like, you know, seemed okay-ish on paper, but not the right pick for Charlotte. Trying to think of other players that would just... Yeah, he's not really a good fit at all in the top eight. And, well,
I don't think that's... I think it's not totally... Like, I think there's stuff to like about Topin, and which we'll kind of get into that. But if you just imagine, I think, what I would say is, like, the argument for the Cavs, like, him at five... Like, if it's if you're a little lower, and there's, like, a maybe, like, an unexpected run on the wings that you would want, then I'm sort of like, okay, like, maybe you roll the dice a little bit. I think at five, it's just a little... Like, I just cannot imagine that the wings that actually could help you are all off the board at that pick.
No, I don't think any of the wings... Not all the wings, at least one of them. Like, Chicago makes sense as a team to take Isaac Okoro or Denny or Devin Vassell with the fourth pick. They could also go point guard with Killian Hayes or Tyrese Halliburton as well. Like, those... All those players make sense for Chicago, and then Cleveland gets the benefit of whatever wings are remaining. And I think, again, this is just too perfect for the Cavs not to screw this up. And then I guess my take on this is the further we get removed from college basketball and the further we get removed from just basketball in general, like Trevor Magnotti, friend of the pod, draft expert, you know, Mr. Screens himself, said that this is why James Wiseman's stock is starting to surge again, because he thinks people are just watching the limited James Wiseman footage we have. And, like, granted, we have a larger sample size of Obi, but I think teams are starting to come around on him again because there's a lot of unknown variables in this draft. And you take an older player with less upside and less potential to maybe gamble, and you kind of have an idea of what he is. And then, yeah, you could talk me into it a little bit. But, yeah, like you said, if there's some reason I run on the wings and the Cavs situation and hands kind of forced at that point, like, yeah, I understand the Obi pick at that point. But if there's multiple wings left on the table, that's unacceptable.
Yeah, can't justify that. But, Evan, why don't you tell everyone about something that is great to use and could be a really good pick?
Well, something that's acceptable and is always a great pick is using the services of our friends at rockauto.com. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. rockauto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. rockauto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. rockauto.com is a family business, serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Check them out today at rockauto.com.
And with that, we're going to be right back to talk about Topin and his possible fit with the Cavs right after this. Okay, Evan, so let's just say the Cavs do draft him. I just think we need to do this kind of thought exercise here.
Let's just get it out. Yeah, the Cavs, with the fifth pick in the 2020 NBA draft, the Cleveland Cavaliers select... Beautiful. I love it.
That was not good.
They select, and trust me, I love me some mid-majors. As we know, Akron is the king over Ohio University in terms of mid-major
basketball.
Well,
I'm actually mad at OU right now because they said bleed green with the Spider-Man meme of the Boston Celtics and the Ohio Bobcats, and I've considered sending back my diploma.
Good call. Good call.
Not really, but I don't. It's a bad tweet, OU. What are you doing? Yes. Okay,
but you know, I love mid majors, and they take him with the fifth pick, and you know, huge upswing for mid major programs everywhere because, gosh, a player from a small school like Dayton gets picked in the top five of the NBA draft. Like, that's huge, a huge momentous occasion. But I'm a huge sourpuss, so Chris, try and talk me off the ledge on why Obi Toppin might be an okay-ish pick for the Cavs at five.
Okay, let's just say here's the roster he's joining.
Yep.
For guaranteed as of right now. So Tristan's not on this, and Delly's not on this. Dante Exum. This is an order that of the sheet I'm looking at. This is not like tiers of the roster. I do not think Dante Exum is the best player on the team. Dante Exum, Darius Garland, Kevin Love, Alphonso McKinney, who has a non-guaranteed deal still for next season, but I would highly expect that that remains the he will be on the roster. Just so cheap. Larry Nance Jr., Jetty Osman, Kevin Porter Jr., Colin Sexton, and then you have Dean Wade and Dylan Windler, and you have Jordan Bell. Mm-hmm. Bell and Wade are on non-guaranteed deals as well. If the Cavs decided to cut Bell, McKinney, and Wade, that would save them roughly like a little over $4.9 million. It's not a ton, but it's like it's one of those things to I guess keep your eye on depending on what the cap and the tax line looks like. Just kind of keep that in the back of your mind. Andre Drummond obviously has a player option for $28 million. I'm gonna almost $29 million. I'm gonna assume that he's picking that up, so let's factor him in here in this. Well, Topin joins a roster where like he's clearly probably has to come off the bench. Mm-hmm. I wonder how you kind of approach utilizing him. I guess it's just like one of the things, like if you're JB Bickerstaff and your starting five next year is, I mean, I guess let's say it's Darius, Colin, Jetty, Drummond, Kevin. That's your five. Kind of the same five you're running out for towards the end of the season. Mm-hmm. I mean, are you kind of like trying to platoon Topin with Nance to some degree? Like, I don't really like his fit with Kevin. I got to look up his shooting to kind of, I'm going to look up his stepping thing and tell him, see what those guys have to say about his shooting as I transition you here. But I just wonder what the optimal way to, if you do go this route, is it to like platoon him with Nance and then play him with as a cutter and a pick and pop guy with KPJ? Like, is that kind of what you're hoping for? Is it his kind of initial role? Is that what you would do?
So I'm like going through the Cavs depth chart right now, and I think because Nance is being paid so much money, the fact that he is so valuable to what the Cavs are trying to do, and I mean, granted, you can slide him down to the three, and the spacing is atrocious, but you could play Topin as a backup four behind Love and play Larry at the three, and shout out again to our friend Mr. Screens, Trevor Magnotti himself. You could also play Topin as a small ball five and as a backup to Drummond as well. And maybe you have to platoon him with Nance, like you said, because I think Nance is the Cavs' best defensive player. Alphonso McKinney.
Nance is if you want the Cavs to have an organized defense next year, Larry Nance is the guy that's going to make that happen.
He is the middle linebacker of the Cavs' defense next year. And he's very talented and good at what he does, and maybe you platoon him and Topin together to make that work. And then, I mean, I'm looking at it let's just assume it's Garland, Sexton, Osman, Love, Drummond to start, and then so your backup point guard would be Dante Exum if healthy. I assume your backup two or three would be Dylan Windler, and then you can flip-flop him with Kevin Porter Jr., and then you'd have Larry Nance at the four, and then you could just plug in Topin at the five, and then have Bell playing some minutes as well, because I think Jordan Bell is going to be on this roster too if they don't work it out with Tristan. And then your center rotation next year is Andre Drummond, Obi Toppin, and Jordan Bell, and then you kind of figure it out from there. But I guess basketball is a little positionless, so you really can't stick to the rigidity of a tried and true 1-5 depth chart, so you kind of just make things work. And, you know, Houston's making me eat crow in the playoffs right now, watching how well they're performing with Robert Covington and PJ Tucker having their way with Anthony Davis. I don't know.
Those guys are outliers. Covington
and Tucker are outliers. You don't have to lock Topin into saying, okay, he's a backup four, he's a backup five. He's just a
forward
that
comes down
off the bench.
Yeah, I just don't want to go down the Houston route, because Houston is the ultimate outlier in everything they're doing. And I do not think the Cavs are going to try and copy what Houston's doing. That would be very... If the Cavs pivoted into that, that would be quite weird to me.
God, I hope... I mean, shoot. Kevin Porter could be the next James Harden. That's great. And Colin Sexton really is Russell Westbrook, because Chris Fedor said it in one of his Hey Chris mailbags. And
my favorite Kevin Love interaction ever is that, were you there when someone asked him very early in his rookie year if Colin reminded him of Russell Westbrook, and Kevin just wasn't having it?
No, and for those listening, Kevin and Russ were roommates in college.
They're
and
boys.
Are very good friends, they're best friends, so... Yeah, Kevin wasn't having that. I wasn't there for that, but I do remember that interaction, I rolled my eyes so hard I felt my retinas detached. So
it was pretty incredible to see that at the end of a scrum. Just one of the most awkward scrum ends I've ever been a part of.
Definitely That or the Team USA one with Kevin. We'll talk about that maybe some other time. That was awkward too. But
the case for OB is, I think, complicated by the fact that you could not play him as a small ball five as much as I would want to. And maybe that's not easy to ask of a rookie to do anyway, even though he's going to be like a 22-year-old rookie or whatever.
Dylan Windler.
Dylan's 40. But with Jordan Bell, with Drummond, with all these guys that like theoretically could be on the roster, if you want to try and play all of them, like, the argument to me just keeps falling apart because I'm like, okay, well, if you want to try and play a smaller five and run a little more, Jordan Bell is not probably as near. I don't think that the chance of him being like really good are kind of low and probably lower than Toppin, but he's going to cost you less than $2 million. Toppin will be more expensive than that, and you can't just like, you're committing to him in a more substantial way than you are with Jordan Bell.
No, you really are, because you're going to be controlling, unless you trade him, Obi Toppin's contract and money for the next 7 years. So he'll be linked to Cleveland for the next 7 years minimum if he stuck out the duration of his rookie deal with them. And extension as well. And there's not a lot of selling points. And I guess the thing I'm going to pivot with is he's a bit more of a known commodity. And he's not as much of an unknown, and his ceiling isn't as high as other players, and maybe that gives you luxury in a pandemic lottery draft situation like this, where you can take a player that, you know, all right, well, we know what he is. He can do X, Y, and Z for our team. He cannot do A, B, or C for our team. You take him, you figure it out from there. But you could tell me that with a lot of other teams, but the Cavs, I know how this team functions, and I kind of, you know, this is the cynic in me coming out. I assume the worst when it comes to a lot of these situations, when it comes to their draft prospects and young players. The Cavs would be setting Obi Toppin up to fail unless they drastically overhauled this roster heading into next season, whatever it is. Like, if Kevin Love and Andre Drummond are gone next year when this season starts, yeah, Obi makes a lot more sense. But those two are the biggest roadblocks to preventing him from really thriving, because I think he is best suited as a four. Cannot play him as a three, and like you said, it's asking a lot of a rookie, even if he's 22 years old, to play a small ball five. So it's a messy fit, and there are reasons why you could take him, but there's a lot of other outlying factors that need to fall into place for me to feel more comfortable taking him.
All right, let's take a break here. Let's talk about the logic of making a quote-unquote win now pick, which has been floated around a little bit right after the break here, but I want to tell everyone first about DoorDash. Between never-ending laundry cycles, incoming emails, and just being at home all day, I mean, everyone's at home now, you've got plenty on your to-do list. You can give yourself one less thing to worry about and let DoorDash take care of your next meal. DoorDash, as you probably know, is the app that brings you food you're craving right now to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite international chains like Chipotle, Wendy's, and Evan, do your joke.
Baker Mayfield's favorite, the Cheesecake Factory.
Many of your local restaurants are still open for delivery. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local restaurant, and your food will be left at your door. Again, DoorDash deliveries are now contactless, so to keep communities they operate in safe. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. Again, that's $5 off your order and zero delivery fees on that first order using the promo code LOCKEDONNBA. Don't forget, code LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. All right, we'll be right back talking about win now, right after this. Evan, I'm going to go for a joke here, and if it doesn't work, I apologize. When people say like win now with the Cavs, I do like the reaction in Animal Crossing with the confused like question mark.
I had to think about that. Actually made me chuckle. Good one. Before we get going, you've sunk almost 500 hours in Animal Crossing at this point. Good for you, man. That's the level of commitment I like.
Look, I built a driving range of my island, and I think I've peaked.
God.
It's on top of the island. It's gorgeous. I wish I had something that nice.
Good for you. That wasn't a judgy good for you. I'm just like processing the amount of labor.
If you're listening, Kendon, I appreciate you just airing that out on Twitter and attempt to shame me. I cannot be shamed. If my wife can't shame me about this, no one can shame me.
Kendon's played almost like 1,000+ hours of Splatoon 2. He has no room to talk. So speaking of winning plays,
there's no, like, you and I have said this a lot. Like, I don't think this is like anything new for people as we're talking about this. Mm-hmm. There is literally no argument to me that is a logical argument that the Cavs can actually be competent and good next year. Competent is maybe like unfair. They cannot be good next year.
They need stability. The Cavs need to crawl before they can walk, before they can run. Like, they're still crawling at this point, and they have stability with JB being tapped as their coach of the foreseeable future. We'll see what happens if Dan gets impatient again or something. Kobe is a bit under the gun, from what I understand, what I've gathered, for, you know, trying to create a win now situation, but this kind of feels like they're trying to make chicken salad out of chicken shit right now, to put it so bluntly. And there's not a lot of things that the Cavs can really do. And I think because this draft class is so just subpar, and you get a hopefully nice rotational piece. And again, with a dire need on the perimeter and on wing depth, the Cavs can pick probably between the best three prospects and just kind of walk away thinking like, okay, we got a good player. But, I say this lovingly, and maybe with a little bit of frustration in my voice. I don't want the Cavs to Cavs this draft in the most Cavs way possible, and taking Obi Toppin is Cavsing this draft the most Cavs way possible, because there are already so many glaring concerns with him as a player, but there's so many awkward fits on this roster to begin with that going through this year would have been all for nothing, because you're getting a rookie who won't be able to make an immediate impact. And sure, that's fine if it's a long-term plan, but this is a Cavs team that is believing they can fight for the eighth seed. And golly, maybe if Giannis just gets fed up and says, I want out of Milwaukee, and they don't fire Mike Budenholzer, that becomes a reality. But, boy. Drafting Obi would just be another misdirection that this franchise has taken since LeBron's left, and there are quite too many to count at this point, and it's starting to get a little frustrating, again, to put it nicely.
So let's kind of, I would say two things. Number one, if you want to say like, okay, like if you would say Topin's a bad fit, but like a big like Onyeka, who you and I like but the Cavs don't like, the case for Onyeka is that he's like a generational potentially defender, or like at least a really good one who can protect the rim. That's not going to be what Toppin does, despite like they're just very different players. Evan, if let's say the top four goes Edwards, Wiseman, Ball, Denny Adija at four. So that takes one wing off the board for the Cavs. Where would Toppin be in terms of your hierarchy at that pick?
Oh gosh. So
I can do this for you if you wanted me to go first.
Yeah, you go first. I'm thinking about, so give me the order again just one more time. You said it was so Edwards, let's just say, Wiseman, Ball.
Let's go LaMelo Ball 1, Anthony Edwards 2, James Wiseman 3, and then Denny Adija 4.
I guess
so that
doesn't matter. Just those four.
The order, those four guys are off the board. The Cavs are there at five. Uh-huh. This would be my personal one. And then there's obviously going to be, for me, there's going to be the obvious caveat. Uh-huh. It's Okoro first, then Vassell, and then I'm going Onyeka Okongwu. Again, I know the Cavs don't like, and I think they have Toppin higher than him, but Toppin would be fourth there for me.
Oh, I'd have Toppin lower than you with my band.
I just think being realistic, I don't think they're going to, I don't think Aaron Naismith is in that range necessarily. Mm-hmm. I don't think Sadiq Bey, you know, is in that range. Like, so I think there's guys that are a little lower.
So I have those two, and I have Haliburton above Toppin at that point. But if
I think there's a good case for Haliburton, too.
See, like, I'd have Okoro, I'd have Vassell, then I'd have Okongwu, and then I'd have Bay, and then I'd have Haliburton, and then I'd have Naismith, and then I'd have Obi Toppin. And no, that's a lie. I'd have Patrick Williams up there too, because Patrick Williams is a really fun prospect who plays power forward like Obi, but has shown a lot of potential in other facets, but also plays defense, which is something the Cavs really need to shoot. I'd even take this Poku guy that draft Twitter is in love with, but looks like if I sneezed, he'd like rip in two.
Yeah, I can't do the Poku thing.
Like, I'm so all the way out on Obi Toppin as a prospect for the Cavs. Like, people jokingly say, like, is there a prospect you don't like for the Cavs? No, Obi Toppin is the prospect I don't like for the Cavs. And Anthony Edwards. Yeah. But Anthony Edwards is now out of reach, so I don't have to worry about that. So now I have to zero in on all my hatred towards Obi Toppin. Not hatred, disdain towards Obi Toppin and the Cavaliers. And hopefully
I wish Obi Toppin nothing but the best.
Same.
But it's not going to make the fit in Cleveland is just really precarious.
Really precarious and just really awkward and really clunky. And I think Bob Myers is going to big brain this and take Wiseman, but I still think Golden State would be the best option for Obi just because there's enough pieces around him and they can kind of just have him play like a minimized role and have it figured out and he can just score a bunch and just do what he does best and whatever. Maybe they convince a team to flip him for a better prospect down the line at the trade deadline, but there are so many players I'd rather have, and I think I listed like 6, 7, or 8 of them over Obi Toppin at this point.
I think that the general point here is that there are other guys you and I would go with first, and I think that's kind of there's pretty clear logic as to why.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of logic out there, and it's just, please, if for some reason Kobe Altman or the Cavs front office happens to be listening, JB, if you're listening right now, you're a friend of the pod, don't take Obi Toppin. For my sanity's sake, for Chris's sanity's sake, for the majority of this fan base's sanity's sake, don't take Obi Toppin.
Yeah, Evan, let's get out of here. We're going to talk about Ty Lue on our next episode, which I'm pretty excited about. Mm-hmm. I'm a big Ty supporter, and it led me down some interesting Google rabbit holes for some stuff I was trying to research. But, Evan, why don't you send everyone out here?
Well, just as always, practice social distancing, wash your hands, wear a mask, and go Cavs. Oh, and register to vote.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.